Catastrophic climate change will be the narrative and the agenda. And so, friends, during this time, you are going to be accused of not wanting to rest on Sunday. You are going to be reviled and accused as being a person who doesn't care or love for the planet. Friends, this is what we are going to be going through, and it's very, very serious. You are going to be held out as a person who does not care for your neighbors, you don't care for your nation, and you don't care for the planet if you do not lock down and keep the green Sundays that are coming. The second question I'm going to ask you is, did you make a stand on biblical principles to not take any of the government's experimental medicines? You know, we've been doing the prophecy seminar. We've been looking at Daniel chapter 1. When the government, when the king put unclean food on the table, Daniel and his three friends chose not to take that food at the risk of their lives. In Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to the king, "We're not careful to answer you in this matter, but we will not worship your golden image. And if God chooses not to deliver us, then that's okay with us." Friends, if you have decided with consultations with your doctor and your medical personnel to take that, then that is your choice, and I respect that. But that's not where we're heading today, and that leads us to question 3. I'm going to ask you today, will you make a stand on biblical principles to not ridicule, harass, or bully those who choose to either take or not take the medicines? As I started with, we are heading to a mandatory vaccination schedule. No jab, no travel. No jab, no interstate travel. No jab, no food. Friends, it's very, very serious. How could this happen in Australia? These issues are going to split churches. Some of you have already seen this. And so when we look at 2018 and what happened here with the national plebiscite, the vote on marriage, the mainstream media in the middle of the page, the mainstream media who's running the show at the moment, and the government, they were pushing fluidic gender diversity. Do you know that right now I can choose to be a man this morning, and this afternoon I can choose to be a woman? And you have no right to counsel me, to criticize me, or to in any way hold me up to ridicule. It's interesting what the Bible said in Genesis, that God made a man, he made a woman, and he said, "Be fruitful and multiply." And the children from that union were born male and female. I'll say enough, friends, but we never really spoke up about this as a church. We flew under the radar. And I want to tell you that now we're here. We're now in this divisive issue over health. We now have a society pushing on us enforced experimental injections. That's not what the media is telling us. That's not what the government's telling us. But that's what the people who created it are telling us. Have you researched Dr. Robert Malone? He made the mRNA vaccine. He created it. He is the creator of that messenger RNA. And he said, why should healthy people be vaccinated for something that leaves 99.3% of the population unharmed? Why should healthy people be vaccinated? Friends, some of our members are choosing to exert their rights that their body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But friends, there's a divisiveness that's coming as one group seek to assert themselves over the other group. Finally, in the era of worship, Green Sundays are going to be brought in, and possibly as early as November 1 to 12, by the Pope. If you've been doing your homework and watching your favorite preachers online, you would know from November 1 to 12, there's the COP26 meetings in Glasgow. The Pope is the star headline act. And I would be very, very surprised if there is no part one of a Sunday law, which is green Sundays, which are the answer to catastrophic climate change. That's what the CCC stands for. Green Sundays, to lock down one day a week and not lock down like we are. Do you think society will trade away for that? I think they will. Friends, the Bible tells me something different. It tells me in the first angel's message, which I'll preach on in a few weeks' time. It tells me the first angel's message tells me to worship the Creator, the maker of heaven and earth, the springs and the fountains of waters. Now, friends, if some of you are a little bit distressed with what I've said, then just stay with me for a few minutes as I close. Number one, there are plenty of support systems for the injected. Here they are. Number one, the mainstream media, the internet, television news, Facebook, Twitter, and all the media are telling us, get injected. Number two, there's the government telling you to get injected. There's the chief health officers telling you to get injected. There's the health orders telling you to get injected. There's the police telling you to get injected. There's the doctors who are dispensing it. They're telling you to get injected. There's the drug companies who supply it and are advertising and paying. The mainstream media, they're paying. It's in the newspapers. It's sponsored. They are paying for this. And how much did Pfizer make in the last 3 months? Did I hear the amount of $20 billion? And Bill Gates said he could make more money out of vaccines than he ever could out of computers. Finally, I acknowledge today that I'm on dangerous ground because the Seventh-day Adventist Church has a position which is positive towards vaccination and injections. So I acknowledge that, but my concern is the people who phone me, because I have to be a pastor for all people. And so for those who are convicted that this is not the way forward, then I want to say to you today, because the other people have made their mind up, that you have God and prayer on your side. I've heard your distress, that you have the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. Some of you might like to look up Second Selected Messages 450 forward. And then you have me. Yes, well, I just want to tell you that whether you are on the left side or the right side, I support your sovereign rule, will to make your own decision about these important things. Do you remember a few weeks ago I said that we would be betrayed in the last days in Mark 13, 11 to 13? How could this happen? Now, brother will betray brother to death and a father his child, and the children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Friends, how could something like this happen? How could families split? What are they splitting over? Verse 11, Jesus gives the answer to the splits. But when they arrest you, what? Arrest? Not here in Australia. That'd have to happen in America or Europe. How could this happen in Australia? We're a free country, aren't we? But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Friends, there's betrayals in families at the end of the days over three issues. G, H, and W. What are they? Friends, betrayals will come. In Matthew 24, 7 to 10, notice on the left, we are in the time of wars and rumors of wars. We're in the time of famines. They're about to come. We've been told in the middle of next year, 2022, the summer, the Northern Hemisphere summer of 2022, there will be famines. There'll be food shortages. The pandemic is the pestilences. We're there right now. The pandemic and the shutdowns are going to exacerbate that the crops can't get to market. Friends, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Jesus says in 24:9 of Matthew, then they will deliver you up to tribulation or trouble and they'll kill you. And you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Friends, how is that possible? Christians are harmless. They follow the law of the land. They follow God's law. How could this ever happen? Verse 10, and then many will be offended. That could be happening today. Offense is a big thing in our society. Everyone's offended. And many will be offended and they'll betray one another and they'll hate one another. Friends, we've got betrayal, hatred, the desire to kill, and we have a death decree coming according to Revelation 13. After the buying, no buying and selling. These are all end time signs. Friends, what are the issues that could lead to all this hatred, betrayal, and the splitting of churches? Friends, these are the issues that Christians today are being attacked in the community over gender. What about over your health decision? Are you being attacked for it? One side isn't being attacked, the other side is. Because one side takes the high moral ground. We have the medical side on our side. We have the church on our side. We have the government on our side. We have the mainstream media on our side. We have society on our side. You must be wrong. Recant. Change. Friends, if you have decided that you're following the Bible on gender and worship, that you are going to keep the Sabbath come hell or high water, then I want you to think about this health issue we're going through right now. Because, friends, too much respect is being given to these experimental biological agents that are issued under emergency use authorization. The FDA has not approved these vaccines for normal use in America. That's the Federal Drug Administration. And here in Australia, the Therapeutic Goods Association have not approved them either. We're in a two-year trial. But so our society has decided to demonize people who won't go ahead. Friends, I want to tell you where I'm going to put my trust. In Psalm 91, this is where I'm putting my trust. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge. He alone is my place of safety. He is my God and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. Friends, in Isaiah 56, 10 and 11, God's leaders are condemned. Isaiah writes about the leaders in God's church. His watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. They're sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. And they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain, from his own territory. Friends, it's been suggested to me that as I've said nothing on this issue at all, that I am a dumb dog who can't bark. I go to the NLT, for the leaders of my people, the Lord's watchmen, his shepherds, are blind and ignorant. They are like silent watchdogs that give no warning when danger comes. They love to lie around sleeping and dreaming. They are all ignorant shepherds, all following their own path, intent on personal gain. Friends, I haven't wanted to give this message today because I know that I am saying things that should not be spoken. I go back to World War II for inspiration, and I think of what Martin Niemöller wrote. In World War II, this is what he wrote in Nazi Germany. First, they came for the socialists or communists, and I did not speak out because it wasn't a socialist or communist. Well, then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Friends, Martin Niemöller was a great fan of Hitler and the Nationalist Socialist Party, I think was the name of Nazism in the early days. Friends, when he found out where Hitler was going and what Hitler was going to do, he wrote this poem to say that inaction's not an option. I'm going to change the poem and I'm going to apply it to these last days, for I will not be a dumb dog, and I will speak up for the Lord according to my own conscience. I chose a drug-free lifestyle under the instruction of the Lord in December 31, 2019. And I, as you know, have suffered a lot for it. I have suffered migraines, nights up praying, singing, quoting scripture. But God has trained me during that time. I'm telling you of my testimony, my story, and my experience. And I'm being totally consistent in what I am saying. Friends, I'm going to change the poem. Have a look on the screen. I think this is where we're up to. Well, first they came for the COVID sick people, but I wasn't a COVID sick people, so I didn't speak out. Then they came for the anti-vaxxers, but I wasn't an anti-vaxxer, so I didn't speak out. Then they came for the Seventh-day Adventists, but I was ashamed of being a Seventh-day Adventist, so I didn't speak out. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to defend me. A disloyal Seventh-day Adventist, just like the Apostle Peter in the story, who denied his Lord. Friends, I'm testing today our freedom of speech. I'm testing it, aren't I? I'm testing whether we're still allowed to say the unspeakable. So friends, I believe that I'm saying this because of all the phone calls I've had. They're coming for the anti-vaxxers. I'm speaking up for them. Many of you in Dora Creek are of that group. I'm speaking up for you because some of my members are of this point of view and deserve our support. They don't deserve ridicule, betrayal and hatred. This is what the mainstream media and the government are preaching. Friends, I'm having calls from a nurse in Queensland who's been written down as an AVer, and she's been put in the transgender ward as persecution. I'm speaking up for another young man who was outlined as work as one of these and shamed in front of the whole workforce and warned and threatened to get with the program or think about looking for another job. Friends, I want to tell you that our people, their jobs are on the line at the retirement villages. They're being told, take the vaccine or lose your job. Friends, I'm going to ask you again, how could this happen in Australia? I thought that America was the lamb-like beast that would speak as a dragon. What is going on? What happened to freedom of speech and freedom of choice? Well, it's time to quit. I thank you for your patience with me, I hope. Friends, the sifting of Peter, we've talked about it. We've talked about the sifting of God's people and what's going to bring division into his church. Will we have vaccine churches? Will we have anti-vaccine churches in the future? Think ahead. Have you thought through the issues? Finally, what's our answer to ridicule, abuse, and all of those things? How did Peter answer? Ellen White says Peter denied Jesus under these conditions. Conditions are being scorned. Conditions are being ridiculed. And conditions of being accused of being a follower of the man inside, Jesus of Nazareth, who's been arrested. Peter caved under those conditions because he was sleeping and not praying. So who is our model? Have a look here at Jesus. Jesus and Pilate, writing on there. Here he is, Ecce Homo. Behold the man, the King of the Jews. Friends, I'm going to mold myself on Jesus' character. Pilate was filled with amazement at the uncomplaining patience of the Savior. Satan's rage was great as he saw that all the abuse inflicted upon the Savior had not forced the least murmur from Jesus' lips, although he had taken upon him the nature of man. Jesus was sustained by a godlike fortitude and departed in no particular from the will of his Father. Friends, I'm going to model myself on Jesus. Jesus said, Ellen White said, Jesus was uncomplaining. That means he didn't murmur. He didn't curse. He didn't strike back. He was patient with the process that went on and on and on. And finally, I asked myself, am I resigned to the will of the Father? That's the hard part. You know what that's called? That's called surrender. That's total surrender. Total surrender to the Father. Friends, we're in the testing of God's last day, people. I finish with this. Where will you stand? Are you going to stand on the shifting sand with Peter and deny your Lord? Or are you going to stand with Jesus and follow his word? Once again, whatever stand those of you who've made a stand have made, I love you. I respect it. For those still making up their minds, do your homework. I am here to pray with you and support you. Whether you're on one side or the other side, I love you. I pray with you. I support you. Friends, may God bless you as we navigate through these incredible times. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we've taken some time this morning to talk about difficult issues as a church family. Lord, I pray that you will heal the brokenhearted, that you will not quench the smoking flax. Father, we know that in the community, businesses are failing. We know that marriages are breaking up. Domestic violence is rife. Young people are suiciding. Farmers have got no income. Friends, Father, Jesus, things are very serious here on earth. We still have some of the saints saying that Jesus might not come for 50 years. This will all blow over and we're not going home for a long time. Father, I'm praying your Holy Spirit will speak to the hearts of the people this morning as we participate in this beautiful communion service. And I ask for your will to be done, that the God of heaven may be honored as we live in these difficult times, loving, respecting, and listening to each other. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Friends, we now have a 5-minute break for the foot washing service, and Lynn Blundell is going to also do a children's story at this time. So thank you so much, Lynn. I will stop the screen share and we will hand back to Lynn, and then we'll come back for the emblems. Thank you so much and God bless.
Good morning, everyone. And I have a story today for younger people and also for anyone who's not able to take part in foot washing. We did our foot washing between summer school and church so that I could do this now. So I've got a story here to share, which is along the lines of Peter saying that he didn't know Jesus. The sermon that Pastor Price has taken for us this morning. The story is called, "Today I Feel Ashamed." And we know that Peter felt ashamed later on after he had denied Jesus and when he heard that rooster. So here's a story that I think we can all relate to. The Bible says God will throw our sins into the depths of the ocean. That's in Micah chapter 7 and verse 19. And our story today is about a little girl called Carrie, and I'm sure we can all relate to her. Do you have a cement footpath at your place? We have one that goes from our front door to the front porch. But I haven't seen any marks in it. But anyway, here's our story. Some men were making a new footpath in front of Carrie's house. A big cement mixer truck backed up to the curb and poured wet grey cement out of a chute into the special place where the footpath would be. Then the men took special tools that looked like garden tools and pushed and patted on the cement to get it just right and smooth everywhere. To Carrie, this cement looked like grey mud. I wonder what it feels like, she thought. I wonder if I could just poke one finger into it and see how cold it is. But the men kept watching her, and she was a bit afraid of what they might do if they saw her touching it. Finally, the men finished the footpath. Now, don't you put your hands or feet into this, okay? They said sternly, putting up wooden barricades to keep people away. Carrie shook her head. But after the men left, she stood looking at the shiny wet cement for a long time. I'll bet if I just poked my finger in the edge, no one would notice, she thought. Slowly she bent down, leaned over one of the wooden barricades and pushed her finger into the cement. Oh, it was delightful, so cool and grainy, almost like wet sand at the beach. She stuck another finger into the cement, then another and another, until finally it covered almost her whole hand. But suddenly she realised what she had done, and quickly she pulled her hand out and noticed with alarm that she had left a deep hole in the cement. She scraped it off her fingers and tried to fill in the hole. But the more she patted the cement, the more lumpy it became. It was obvious that someone had been playing in it. What would the men do to her now, she wondered. Racing to her backyard, she rinsed off her hand so that Mother wouldn't know what she had done. But mothers have a way of finding things out, don't they? Her mother guessed what had happened. What are the men going to do to me? Carrie cried. Probably nothing, Mother said. But every time you walk on that footpath, you'll see the holes that you put in it. And you'll remember that you ruined it, won't you? Carrie nodded. I guess I lied to those men, she said. I promised I wouldn't play in the footpath, but then I did. Anyway, will Jesus forgive me? Or will he always remember what I did too? Mother smiled. When Jesus forgives, he forgets that we ever did wrong. The Bible says it's as if he throws our sins into the deepest parts of the ocean where no one can see them. Then he forgets we ever sinned. I'm glad God doesn't remember everything, Carrie said, and I am too. And I'm just going to read that text one more time, reading it from the Message Bible, which says, you'll stamp out our wrongdoing, you'll sink our sins to the bottom of the ocean. And that's Micah chapter 7 and verse 19. God bless you, everyone. Thank you.
Lynn, thank you so much. That was an absolutely beautiful job. And we just...